Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What is happening, everybody? The UFC, it is back this weekend. We had an off week last week following UFC 300. And how good was UFC 300? One of the best cards that I've ever seen. I had so much fun watching that with my brother, and I hope you guys did as well. And now we're about to be getting back into some more UFC cards and really one of the best DFS sports out there. So in this video, I'm going to be breaking down everything that you need to know to make money playing DFS this weekend. And if you guys want to sign up for the Sims tool that we have at stochastic.com, you could build your lineups on our site. You could simulate the slate on our site. We've also got fighter projections, ownership projections. You get access to all of that through the links that we have below in the description box. If you guys want to sign up for any of the packages we have at stochastic.com, check below in the description box. As you're watching this video as well, do me a favor, like the video, subscribe to the YouTube channel. We're also going to be doing a giveaway this week, and there are some giveaway winners to announce from UFC 300. So the giveaway I did was I told people in the comment section, guess which fight you thought was going to be fight of the night. And the chalky answer ended up winning. It was like 75% of the answers were Max Holloway and Justin Gaethje. And since so many people did answer that, I'm going to give away a couple of subscriptions as opposed to just the one that I've been doing normally in this video. But here are the couple people that ended up getting the right answer that are winners. Ryan Rennebaum, 405. You get a free Odd Shopper subscription. And same with Shui Diskind, 5674. For you two guys, congrats. And also, thank you for leaving a comment. Hit me up on Twitter, send me a DM, and I could shoot you a link to get you a free Odd Shopper subscription. As for this week, with our first week back after a week off, here's going to be the giveaway. Same deal, I'm going to give away one free Odd Shopper subscription if somebody gets the correct answer to this below in the comment section. Let me know which fighter priced under 8K do you think is going to score the most fantasy points this week? Whoever gets the answer correct, so we're looking at the best value option under 8K that scores the most fantasy points, I'm going to give away a free Odd Shopper subscription and one person gets the answer right. So leave a comment below. It also helps support the channel. Now, let's start breaking down the card, beginning with the main event. We've got Mateus Nicolau taking on Alex Perez. And I think Nicolau is a very good, well-rounded fighter. He's got a very strong skill set. He's a good striker. He's also capable of wrestling. He's a black belt. He's got a very good submission game. Here's the problem with him from a DraftKings perspective. He just doesn't do all that much. So there are a lot of his fights that end up being pretty lackluster when all is said and done. And you'll see that in a lot of his wins where, sure, he was able to knock out Matt Schnell, but pretty much everybody knocks out Matt Schnell. But some of his other fights, David Dvorak, he only lands 36 significant strikes in a decision win. Against Tim Elliott, 64 significant strikes and one takedown. Against Manel Kapp, he wins a split decision, 55 significant strikes and two takedowns. So I do think that he's more likely to win this fight than not against Alex Perez. The problem I have, though, is just he's not the greatest DraftKings scorer. And this is a card that has a lot of fights with a lot of finishing equity. I think we're going to see a lot of finishes on this card. So it's really hard for me to prioritize Nicolau, even though this is a five-round main event fight. So with that being the case, I actually am prioritizing Alex Perez more as the underdog in this spot, because if Nicolau wins, I just don't think it's all that likely he scores super well. Whereas Alex Perez, I don't think he wins, but if he does, considering what his price point is, I think he's much more likely to be in the optimal lineup with a win than Nicolau is, especially because of some of the wrestling upside of Alex Perez. So my first run here, I do have Perez in 37% of lineups and then Nicolau in 31%. This is certainly not a main event that we have to target. If you guys are playing single entry, I do think one of the more reasonable ways to differentiate a single entry lineup is simply by fading the main event and looking at some other spots. So I'm not the must-target main event that we typically see on some of these fight night cards, but since it is five rounds, it's not one that I could completely avoid. But Alex Perez, he is my preferred side to roster in tournaments. Co-main event, and also a lot of the fights that I'm most heavily targeting are coming from the main card. So the main card, there's a lot of fights that I want to be heavily invested in, and there's a lot of spots on the undercard that I have a little bit less interest in. But one of these spots here that I really do think we want to be heavily exposed to, Ryan Spann taking on Bogdan Guskov. And this is a fight that I'm very confident finishes in either the first round, maybe the second. But I do think the most likely scenario is going to be a first round finish. Both Spahn and Guskov hit extremely hard. They're also not defensively responsible fighters, and both of them also have questionable durability. We've seen Guskov finish a few times. We've seen Spahn also finish a few times. Overall, I do think that Ryan Spahn is the better fighter of the two, but there's been multiple fights that he's been in where he's been the better fighter, and then he just makes dumb mistakes or his durability lets him down. So we saw the fight against Anthony Smith, for instance, where there was a point where Anthony Smith looked very hurt, and I was thinking that we were going to see Ryan Spahn end up finishing him, but he just kind of gassed out in the second round of that fight. Same thing, a fight against Nikita Krylov, where Spahn just kind of didn't show up for that spot, and Krylov was just able to take him down and submit him. And then you see other really strong performances from him, like knocking out Dominic Reyes in a couple of minutes, and then submitting Iwan Kutalaba in the first round. So I'm picking Spahn to win. I'm picking him to win by KO, but just because he does make a lot of questionable decisions and he's inconsistent, I'm not going to totally write off Guskov, but Spahn is in 46% of my lineups. He's one of my favorite payup options on the slate. And then Guskov is currently sitting in 18% of my lineup. So a little bit underweight to Guskov, as I have Spahn as one of the priorities in my lineups at the moment. One other thing that I want to note as we go through here, there were a couple of weight misses at weigh-ins. At the time I'm recording, it hasn't officially been announced if those fights are going to be on or off. I'm assuming they are going to be on, but just want to make note of the fact that, where is it here? James Lontop, he ended up missing weight. It was only by half a pound, so I'd be very surprised if that fight got canceled. And then also David Onama, he missed weight by 2.5 pounds. So that fight actually is at some risk against Jonathan Pierce, but I still also think that fight is most likely to happen than not. But just something to note that I'm recording this as weigh-ins are going on. Next fight here, another one I think is a pretty good fight to target. We've got Ariane Lipski, who is now listed as Ariana Da Silva, taking on Karina Silva. So Silva versus Silva matchup here. And I think this is another one where we should see a pretty good score out of the winner, because Karina Silva, she's a very clear path to victory in this matchup because she's going to have a massive advantage on the ground over Lipski. And we've seen her so far in her fights. She's landing 2.45 takedowns per 15 minutes. And while Lipski's takedown defense has slowly improved over the course of her UFC career, she does not have much of a ground game. And in the past, when we have seen fighters get top position against Lipski, the fight typically ends shortly thereafter. So if you look at some of the fights where Lipski has been taken down, it was here, Molly McCann took her down twice and didn't finish her, but was able to hold a lot of top control and put up a pretty good DraftKings score. Antonina Shevchenko landed one takedown, and Shevchenko is no ground game at all. We're not talking about Valentina. We're talking about Antonina Shevchenko. She got one takedown, was able to finish the fight from there. Montana De La Rosa was able to land a couple of takedowns, and from there, she was able to get a finish. And this wasn't takedown related, but Priscilla Quechuera, she was able to knock out Lipski in, what was it, a minute of that fight? Yeah, a minute and 5 seconds. So there's questionable durability for Ariane Lipski. She gets finished pretty frequently in her losses. And so far we've seen out of Karina Silva, she's a very potent finisher. She's got big power on the feet. She's an excellent grappler. The question becomes, though, what does Silva look like? And Karina Silva talking about here, what does she look like in the later stages of the fight? Because we've seen times where even in one round fights, she starts to slow down a little bit towards the tail end of the first round. So that's a concern for me. If this fight gets out of the first round, I think Ariane Lipski is going to get a finish in the second or third round. Overall, though, I do think the most likely winner is going to be Silva. When there are these wrestler versus grappler matchups, I tend to lean more towards the grappler side. There's a little bit less variance in that. So Silva's a very high priority for me. I currently have her in 45% of my lineups. She's also going to be very popular, but I think it's for good reason. Lipski's worth looking at for leverage in large field tournaments on the other side, but Silva's the priority for me. Next fight that we have here, it is Austin Lane taking on Jannata Diniz. And for this fight here, this is going to be a heavyweight fight that is almost certainly going to be finishing in the first round. And on the Diniz side, he has big power. He also fights pretty aggressively. if you guys look at the numbers that we've seen from him so far, landing 7.69 significant strikes per minute. Now, with that said, it was just a contender series fight against a very low-level opponent in Eduardo Neves, but still, Dennis showed big power, big finishing ability. He landed 2 knockdowns, and it was only in a 3-minute fight. He was able to land 25 significant strikes as well as 2 knockdowns. And Austin Lane is somebody who fights very aggressively. And also, he's not all that much different from kind of one of these lower level contender series type fighters. He's somebody who also fought on the contender series. We actually saw him fought twice. He fought against Greg Hardy. That was how Greg Hardy initially got into the UFC, was by knocking out Austin Lane. And then we saw Austin Lane end up getting a finish over Richard Jacoby. What ended up happening was Jacoby landed a takedown, and then we were able to see that Austin Lane was able to reverse position. He got on top, and from there, he was able to get himself a finish from top position. If he is able to land on top, either by landing a takedown or there's some sort of scramble and he gets on top, I think he could finish the fight from that angle. But the most likely scenario here is that Diniz is going to end up finishing the fight on the feet, probably in the first round. And that is my pick, Diniz by a first round knockout, because Austin Lane, while I don't think that he's terrible as a heavyweight, he does have massive durability issues. He's been finished many times in his career, and I think that is the most likely outcome here. So another fight that I really think we want to be targeting heavily. At the time that I'm recording this, my first run of lineups, Diniz is actually my most rostered fighter. He is in 53% of my lineups. And then Austin Lane on the other side, I have in 15% of lineups. I wouldn't mind ROI boosting Lane to get him to closer to 20%. So I'm a little bit overweight to the field. We currently have him projected for 15% ownership. It's a somewhat high variance heavyweight matchup, but I feel pretty good about picking Diniz to win by KO. Jonathan Pierce against David Onama. And there's just such a clear path to victory here for Jonathan Pierce, who is an excellent wrestler, but also knows what the assignment is. He knows his path to victory in these fights. So if you look at his stats, he lands 5.29 takedowns per 15 minutes. And David Onama on the other side of the fight, there's a couple of things working against him. Number one, 45% takedown defense. Doesn't defend takedowns all that well. The other problem as well with David Onama, he doesn't have the best cardio. We've seen him multiple times get very, very tired in the third round of fights. And that's a problem against somebody who has an excellent, excellent gas tank like Pierce. So there's a real chance here that Onama just gasses out and just gets overwhelmed with pace and pressure in the late second or third round. And if that does end up being the case, Pierce is going to score a ton of fantasy points. I think he'd be fairly likely the highest scoring fighter on the card. But the reason that Onama is somewhat live in this spot is because Pierce is not the best striker in the world, and he himself has some durability concerns. So if there is a knockout in this fight, it's likely going to be on the Onama side. And if this fight does stay on the feet for any extended period of time, I think Onama would find success. I just don't think that's a very likely scenario because of how aggressive Jonathan Pierce is going for his takedowns throughout his career. So another high priority option for me, I have Pierce in 35% of lineups. He is currently expected to be the most popular fighter on the card. We've got him projected for nearly 50% ownership. So I'm not quite at the levels that the field is, but I also think there's a pretty good chance that ownership is going to come down a little bit as we get closer to lock. But Pierce is somebody who I think you guys should absolutely be playing in cash games, and he's a pretty strong option for tournaments as well. As far as Onama on the other side, I think he could be a decent leverage option if Pierce does end up being as highly owned as he is projected to be, if that 50% ownership ends up holding until tomorrow. But I don't really think that's going to be the case. So Onama, he's a viable cheap option, but I have him in 20% of my lineups right now, so not really a priority. Moving on, we have Tim Means against Uros Medic. And Tim Means is a very good fighter. He's a veteran. He's got how many career fights now? Yeah, look at this record. 33-15-1 for Tim Means. So we're looking at a guy with 49 career fights, and he's also 40 years old. He turned 42 months ago. So that's the issue I have with Tim Means. It is so much wear and tear on his body. And also, you have to question his durability at this point in his career, because while he did win his last fight against Andre Fiallo and looked pretty damn good in that fight, the previous fights, get submitted by Alex Morono, lose the split decision against Max Griffin, where he also got dropped and then got finished in the fight before that by Kevin Holland. So we've now seen in 3 of his last 4 fights, he's either been finished or been knocked down. It's a concern on the Tim Means side, especially because Uros Medic has crazy, crazy power. The guy hits really hard. Most of his fights end up finishing inside the distance. You see the fight that he had against Mitabek Orobai, who's going to be fighting next week. That was one where Orobai ended up finishing Medic in the second round. But the fights before then, Medich knocked out Matthew Semelsberger on short notice. He was able to knock out Omar Morales. And I do think we're going to see another knockout from Medich in this fight against an aging fighter in Tim Means. This would be a really interesting fight if this was Tim Means like 5 years ago, because I do think there is some questionable cardio on the side of Medich. I just don't think it's going to come into play in this particular matchup, considering the age and durability concerns that I have about Tim Means. So Medich is currently in 23% of my lineups. And I think that's a number that I'll probably be a little bit higher on when we get to lock tomorrow. But Medich is a payoff option that I certainly like on this slate. A lot of finishing equity in Medich. Moving on here, Ronny Yahya against Victor Henry. And Ronny Yahya, he has one path to victory in basically all of his fights, and that is a first-round submission. He's nearly 40 years old, Ronny Yahya. He doesn't have the best cardio in the world. He's historically been fairly durable, but considering his age, I don't know that we could count on him to be all that durable going forward. So I actually do think what's going to happen in this fight is the first round, I think Victor Henry is going to put some pace on Ronny Yahya on the feet, also being really cautious to make sure he doesn't get caught in any kind of leg entanglements and isn't at risk of being taken down. And then I think Ronny Yahya is just going to be tired in the second or third round. And then I think we're going to see Victor Henry probably be able to put him away with just overall pace and pressure on the feet and just a massive striking advantage for Victor Henry in this matchup. The reason I'm not going to be playing very much of Victor Henry, though, he's $9,500. I've talked about all these other payoff options I like that have really high finishing equity or just have the potential to score really big DraftKings points like a Jonathan Pierce. And I don't really want to pay all the way up for Victor Henry when I do think there are a lot of fighters that are projected to score more fantasy points that are cheaper than him. So Victor Henry, it's going to be hard for me to get there, but I pretty confidently am picking him to win this fight. Next fight is Austin Hubbard against Michael Figlak. And this is where we're starting to get into some of the fights where they're just not going to be as high priorities for me. So a lot of my lineups are going to be ones that have like six fighters remaining or five fighters remaining until we get onto the main card of the fight. Because right here, we've got Austin Hubbard against Michael Figlak. And I don't really view either of these fighters as being the best DraftKings scorers. Both of them are fairly low output on the feet. Neither of them are especially potent or aggressive wrestlers either. On paper, the actual way that Figlak should have his advantage would be from wrestling. But the problem with Figlak is that was also how he was supposed to have an advantage over Ferez Zayim. Zayim being a kickboxer who doesn't have the best takedown defense. And it was actually Zayim who landed three takedowns in that spot. So I do get a little bit concerned about Figlak. Like, what is his actual strengths when he's supposed to be somebody who's a wrestler and grappler who's getting taken down by a kickboxer in his last fight? So with that in mind, I'm picking Austin Hubbard to win. I do think that he's a viable underdog, but just because I don't think there is all that much potential for a good DraftKings score in this fight, Hubbard landing 3.83 significant strikes per minute. He typically does not look to wrestle all that often. It's not a fight I'm all that interested in. The next fight that we have here, it is Dontell Mays against Kyle Machado. And this is a high variance heavyweight fight, but it's not a heavyweight fight that's expected to finish inside the distance. It is actually, last I looked, let's see, I think it was around minus 170 to go to the judges' scorecards. Yeah, so with that being the case, you got two heavyweights here that typically heavyweight fights either finish early or don't score all that well because most heavyweights don't have the most output in the world. And it's also one that it's a pick 'em, right? So it's hard to really be confident either side. I do feel a little bit better about Kyle Machado just because Dontell Mays is so untrustworthy. He shows up to fight sometimes where he just doesn't look prepared. He shows up with bad game plans at times. He is capable of wrestling. He doesn't go to it all that often. He only lands 0.79 takedowns per 15 minutes. So I'm a little bit more confident that Machado is going to be the fighter with more output, but this is not a fight that I really want to target all that frequently because it's a heavyweight fight that I think is probably going to go to the judges' scorecards. The winner probably scores like 80, 85 fantasy points just because where it's priced in the mid-range, it warrants some exposure, but I'm sub 20% ownership on both Dontell Mays and Kyle Machado at the time I'm recording this right now. So not really a fight that I think we need to be getting to. If you guys play 1, 2, 3 lineups, I think you feel good about just leaving this fight out of your player pool. Marnik Mann against Ketlin Souza. And Ketlin Souza had what looked like a pretty bad loss to Karina Silva in her UFC debut for a couple reasons. First off, she didn't do anything. She landed zero significant strikes and zero takedowns in a fight that lasted a minute and 45 seconds. but also this is a fight that took place about a year ago. She got her knee shredded up by Karina Silva, and that's one of the reasons also when I was talking about Silva earlier and the big grappling advantage that she has over Ariane Lipsky. When Silva gets on top of people, she often finishes them, and sometimes brutally, like she did to Souza in her UFC debut. Now, when we're looking at this fight against Martin McMahon, Mann just is not a UFC caliber fighter, in my opinion. We have seen her fight twice now in the octagon. Once was on the Contender Series. She got knocked out by Bruna Brazil, which is a terrible look because Bruna Brazil also hasn't looked all that great in the UFC. And then she makes a UFC debut, Martin McMahon, and I don't know what it is that led to her getting a fight in the UFC after a performance on the Contender Series, but it ended up happening, and she just got destroyed by Josephine Knutson. Knutson now landed her at 81-8 in significant strikes, but Knutson also landed a ton of strikes on the ground. So you look at the overall metrics from this fight, it was a domination. Knutson landed 81 significant strikes, 147 total strikes. She landed 3 of 4 takedowns, and she had nearly 11 minutes of control time in a 15-minute fight. So it was a total blowout. I just don't think Martin McMahon belongs at this level. And that's why Caitlin Souza is somebody who I typically wouldn't be looking to target at an expensive price point. But if I'm going to play one fighter in this fight, I'm going to lean more towards Caitlin Souza just because that I don't think Martin McMahon belongs here. But Souza's more of a differentiation play on the high end and not somebody I'm going to have in very many lineups. It's only somebody if you guys are playing more than 20 lineups that I consider putting her into a couple of them. You don't need to target her, though. Next fight is going to be James Lontop against Chris Padilla. Padilla's taking this fight on just about a week's notice. Lontop is a fighter coming off the Contender Series, and while he's not somebody who looked particularly terrific on the Contender Series, he did land 2 knockdowns. He's shown to have power. That's also been the case with him on the regional scene. He is somebody who's capable of putting fighters away. But Chris Padilla, I think, is an even lower level fighter than James Lontop. And that's why Lontop is one of the biggest favorites on the card. And also, I have to weigh this pretty heavily. James Lontop is anywhere from like minus 130 to as high as minus 140 to win this fight by KO. And that makes him somebody who's really hard for me to ignore. If you guys go back and look at my exposures, Lontop along with Dinez, these are the two fighters I have in north of 50% of my lineups. I'm picking both of them to win by KO. I think these are two really strong options on the high end for us to be getting to. And there's also enough live underdogs on the card that it isn't all that hard to get up to some of these expensive fighters. And it's not like I'm looking at the 9,500 Victor Henry or anything like that. So Dinez and Lontop as slightly cheaper options than Victor Henry, while also, in my opinion, having more finishing equity. Those are the pay-up options I like on the slate. A couple more fights to talk about here. Ivana Petrovic against Liang Na. And this is one other fight that I have interest in both sides of. And actually, Liang Na is one of my favorite underdog plays on the slate. And I'll show you guys one thing as a reason why, as of right now, why I like this fight as a whole. Liang Na, we have projected for 9% ownership right now, and we have Petrovic projected for 11% ownership. And if you guys have ever seen a Liang Na fight, she is extremely aggressive in the first few minutes, and she has like 3 minutes of cardio. She is the worst cardio I've ever seen from a women's MMA fighter. So if you look at her stint in the UFC to this point, she fights against Ariana Carnelosi, and she hurts Carnelosi like 10 seconds into the fight. It looked like we were going to see a finish out of Liang Na, but then she gassed out and got finished herself in the second round. Her next fight against Silvana Gomez-Juarez, and Gomez-Juarez has massive power on the feet. She was also able to just put away Liang Na in a fight that was like pretty high pace for the minute that it lasted. But that was a fight where Gomez-Juarez ended up getting a finish there. And then we saw Liang Na, probably the best she's looked in the UFC, actually, because she was fighting JJ Aldridge. And Aldridge is somebody who's an established veteran in the UFC. She's not a contender or anything like that, but she is still somebody who's established herself as being somebody who belongs in the UFC. And Liang Na wins the first round of that fight. She looks good in the first round. She lands 3 takedowns. And if you look at some of the overall numbers from that round, you know, she lands 3 of 4 takedowns. She ends up landing 27 significant strikes. She gets some control time. But ultimately what ends up happening is she gasses out. She has a takedown in the second round. JJ Aldridge reverses position, lands a bunch of ground and pound, ends up getting a second round finish. And that's what I think is interesting about Liang Na is because she's so aware, it seems, of how bad her cardio is, she goes for broke in the first round. And if she doesn't get a finish, which hasn't happened so far in the UFC, then she ends up getting finished herself either in the first round or in the second round. And Ivana Petrovic, I think this is a massive step down in competition for Liang Na. I think this is her easiest matchup in the UFC. So I think she's more live than the betting odds indicate. And then also considering the ownership on this fight and how Liang Na approaches her fights, 10% ownership for Petrovic, 8% for Na. I've got Na in 29% of my lineups. I got Petrovic in 33%. This is a massively overlooked WMMA fight, and it's one that I want to be well overweight to the field to if these fighters are actually going to be coming in at close to 10% ownership. So I think this is a really good fight to target with a lot more finishing equity than the field is giving it credit for. Final fight to talk about on the card. It's going to be the opener, and I'm a little surprised this is the first fight on the card because we've got Mahashate, who's a somewhat interesting young prospect, and we've got a veteran who's been around for quite a bit in Gabriel Mowgli Benitez, and I do think Benitez is the better fighter. I think he's the minute winner in this spot, and I think he's actually better everywhere. I think he's better on the feet. I think he's better on the ground. I think he's the better wrestler. The problem is that Benitez is 23-12 for his career. He's also been finished so many times. If you look at the recent losses for him, last fight, gets finished by Jim Miller, gets knocked out against David Onama, gets knocked out by Billy Quarantillo, did have a decision loss against Omar Morales, but fight before that gets finished by Sadiq Youssef. So we've seen him finished, in 4 of his last 7 fights at this point. And it's something that's a big concern for me when it comes to Benitez. So I don't know exactly what I want to do with this fight when I think the better fighter is Benitez, but I just can't trust his durability at all. So I'm going to be a little bit light on this fight. My preferred side is going to be Mahashate, just strictly from the standpoint of that I think there is a lot of finishing equity because of the durability concerns of Gabriel Benitez, but there's other pay-up targets that I like on the card, so not a fight that I'm going to be having all that much exposure to. And that's going to do it for us today, guys. Went through all of the fights here. Don't forget, leave a comment below in the comment section. Let me know which punt option you think is going to score the most fantasy points on the card. I'm going to pick one person who gets the correct answer next week to give you a free subscription to Odd Shopper, our betting site. So leave that comment and then also like the video and subscribe to the YouTube channel if you guys haven't already. Thank you very much for watching. Good luck. One other note, actually, I should have noted this at the top as well. My sister's graduating from college next week, so I'm not going to be around to record a video next week. I'm going to be away in Ohio because she goes to college at Ohio State. So I'm actually going to announce the winner of the giveaway in 2 weeks. But if you guys do have questions for me and you're in the Stochastic Discord channel, anybody who's a member to Stochastic, a sub of any package, you get access to our Discord channel. I will be in there to answer any questions people have, or you could also hit me up on Twitter to ask any questions you might have about UFC 301 next week. So apologies, I'm not going to be around, but my sister's only going to graduate from college once, and I want to make sure I'm going to be there for that. So once again, guys, thank you very much for watching. Have a great weekend, and I'll see you back around next week. Peace out. And like I said, even though I'm not recording a video, you could always hit me up on Twitter at GErenbergDFS, and I'll answer any questions you have.